As one reads history, not in the expurgated editions written for schoolboys and passmen, but in the original authorities of each time, one is absolutely sickened, not by the crimes that the wicked have committed, but by the punishments that the good have inflicted. And a community is infinitely more brutalized by the habitual employment of punishment than it is by the occasional occurrence of crime. And that was said by Oscar Wilde. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. It's time for mankind to reevaluate their position, to reevaluate what is important in this world, and to reevaluate what the meaning of life is and what the human experience is supposed to be. It's a reevaluation that is long overdue and one that we are now being forced to undergo simply by the need to preserve life on this planet and a need to preserve some type of sanity and creativity and freedom and, dare I say, dignity within the human experience. Because if we allow things to simply continue the way they are, folks, then make no mistake about it, all of the above is going to be lost. And I want to try and put some of this in perspective here for you. You've got to really look at the situation that we're in. We've got an environmental catastrophe looming very, very quickly. All the bees are dying. All of our water table is being destroyed through coal seam gas mining and the corrupt practices of corporations that are polluting our environment. We've got things like Fukushima still pouring radiation into the ocean all this time later. We've got masses of illegal wars going on. We've got depleted uranium being dropped around the planet during these illegal wars. Look, we've got the United States government. We've got Western governments actually financing terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda in order to overthrow the government in Syria. And people seem to just not notice this. And not only that, but we've got anybody who speaks out against it being charged with crimes, being sentenced to up to 136 years in prison, such as we just saw with Bradley Manning. We've seen people like Edward Snowden get accused of espionage for revealing that all of our Western governments are acting in a criminal manner and conducting espionage against the rest of the world. We've got a very dangerous situation here, folks, and people are sitting back scared that the New World Order is coming. It's not coming, folks. It's already here, and it's just going to consolidate itself and lock humankind down further and further into a tighter and tighter control grid unless the people stand up and do something about it. You've got to start making noise, folks, and you've got to start educating the people around you. And don't take a backward step to this system. And you're able to not take a backward step against it. You're able to stand up against it if you live in a community that is not divided. And you can break down the divisions in your community yourself by simply sharing yourself with your neighbors. Believe me, folks, it really does make all the difference if you can do stuff like that. Now, a lot of people are aware of the very precarious position that the human race is in. I was speaking to a very, very old friend that I met a couple of weeks ago, someone that I hadn't seen for nearly 40 years. And she told me that she doesn't look at conspiracy theories or search out any of that sort of stuff on the internet. She's not even very computer literate. But she herself, who is a naturopath, is very, very scared of the direction the human race is going. So there are many people who are aware that we are in a very, very precarious position, folks. And again, these are people that are operating within a mainstream lifestyle and do not use the internet or search out information on the internet, just people living their day-to-day lives. I mean, her husband does television antenna installations. You know, it's very mainstream, just normal, everyday people. And they are very aware and quite apprehensive of the way things are going, the way the world situation is going, and the rules that are being put in place by government. So people are becoming aware of this more and more. And as I said, these are people who do not necessarily use the internet. So there is an awareness growing within the community. And things have really been coming to a head lately with the whole NSA revelations. the atrocious sentence that was given to Bradley Manning for telling the truth, in the name of national security, no less. And bear in mind, folks, that the people of the nation are the nation. Now, the nation of the United States of America is the people of the United States of America. It isn't the country, it isn't the landmass, it's the people that make up the nation. They are what gives that fictitious entity, because it is a fictitious entity, but they are what gives that entity substance, is the belief that's instilled into the people that that entity exists. So it is the people themselves that is the nation of the United States of America. And what Bradley Manning did was he exposed corruption within government and within the military machine that controls that nation. And yet he was found guilty and prosecuted for doing so in the name of national security. But how can the nation be secure if the people who run the nation are corrupt? When one takes into account the reality that the nation is the people over which these criminals preside. That's the thing. The nation can never be secure if you have corruption within government. And what Bradley Manning did was expose corruption in government, expose corruption in the military. I mean, let's face it, folks, people can say, oh, it was collateral damage, but the whole war in Iraq was based on a lie. It's all an illegal invasion anyway. And there are war crimes being carried out every minute and crimes against humanity and the use of weapons of mass destruction and all sorts of stuff going on in Iraq all the time. And yet Bradley Manning is given 136 years in jail for exposing this type of corruption. So this is the sort of situation we've got, folks. We've got blatant psychopathic criminals running all of our Western countries. The United States is run by a psychopathic criminal government. The UK is run by a psychopathic criminal government. So is Canada. We have a psychopathic criminal government here in Australia. So is New Zealand. All of these countries are run by psychopaths. They are all run by criminal governments. And all of these criminal governments are carrying out crimes against humanity every single day. Because we the people simply allow it. And it's one thing for me to say that we allow it. But the real problem is that even those people who are aware that the problem exists, they just don't know what to do about it. And that is the real problem as far as coordinating any response to this situation is concerned. I mean, sure, we've got the problem of corruption in government. We've got the problem that police are usually pretty stupid, mindless enough that they simply support whatever the government says regardless, which is a real problem. But these are things that we could overcome, folks. I mean, we could overcome this corruption in government. We could overcome the mentality of the police if we had united communities. And that's why I keep coming back to that. The importance of learning to respect yourself so that you can respect the people around you, so that you can unite as a community and stand up against this situation, because that's truly the only way you're going to do it. And it's important that this be done. It's important that people see the truth of this. Now, unity could achieve so many things, and that is why everything about this society is designed to keep us divided. And I've been saying this, beating this same horse to death on these radio shows for 6 years now. So I really don't know what it's going to take to help people see that that is the only remedy that will ever be found. There is no alternate community we can build. There is no alternate political system we can create. There's nothing wrong with the political system that we've got. If it was transparent, it would be fine. But it's that lack of transparency that's the problem. It's that lack of participation by the people in demanding that transparency. You know, too often we're just told that we have to go along with the dictates of government. But such is not the case, folks. What people have to do really is they have to be aware of the fact that our governments are running a slavery system. That's what they're doing. And look, I know I'm just beating the same drum, but what I'm seeing around me these days is a real tightening of the noose of government control. I'm seeing a real consolidation of the control grid. And people really do need to pay attention to what's going on, because almost all of the mechanism is in place now. And people really do have to stand up and start doing something about it. And folks, even if you don't stand up on your own, if you see someone else stand up and start questioning authority and start to attempt to make a stand against this system, you need to throw your full support behind them. And then if they get knocked down, then someone needs to stand up and take their place. We need to meet this system head on and take the bull by the horns, and we need to get involved in our communities and get involved in our society and get involved in our lives a bit better, get involved in this global situation. Realize it's not about all the parameters society has set for us, it's about life itself. And we are at a truly pivotal time in history where we are currently on a knife edge, and the human race is going to go in one of two directions. I spoke about this on last week's show, I think, and I've spoken about it on so many shows previously, but we're on a knife edge, folks. This is the moment when the decision is made, possibly even this year, because we are seeing things escalate to an incredible degree. The tightening down of security in the United States. There were people that were arrested because they did a Google search for a pressure cooker and a backpack the other day. The wife did a search for a pressure cooker at some stage, and the husband did a search for some backpacks at some stage so they could go camping. And the next thing they know, they've got police in riot gear and anti-terrorist gear and body armor knocking at the door, terrorizing them and their children. You know, this is acts of domestic terrorism being carried out against the people of the United States simply because of a Google search, when the real terrorists are the ones running the government. The real terrorists are the ones that are sending people into Iraq to kill innocent children and dropping depleted uranium all over the world. The real terrorist in this world at the moment, the head of the biggest terrorist organization on the planet, is Barack Obama. Why aren't the police going and arresting that terrorist criminal? But I know he gets bodyguards if he goes out. Why haven't they gone and arrested George W. Bush for the illegal war and the 1.6 million people he murdered during it? Why don't the police go and arrest the real terrorists? No, they won't do that, but they will come and terrorize you and your family if you do a Google search for pressure cookers and backpacks. Now, folks, I don't know whether people have really been paying attention to what's going on around them, but things are really consolidating at the moment. They're just tightening the noose as much as they can. Here in Australia, they're about to strike naturopaths from the register. They don't want people performing natural remedies on anybody. We're seeing companies like Monsanto going forth in leaps and bounds. Seed patenting and all the other disgusting practices that this company involves itself with. As I mentioned, the bees are dying. And as we're seeing all of these environmental catastrophes unfold around us, we're seeing a further locking down of the control grid as well. Here in Australia, they're going to have a referendum this year in attempt to give local councils constitutional recognition as well. And what this is all about, folks, is an attempt to basically hand Australia over to the United Nations via the mechanism of local councils, because you'll find that all local councils receive their guidelines from an organisation called the Municipal Association of Australia, and the Municipal Association receives its directives from the UN. And so if you are an Australian and you're listening to this show today, it's very, very important that you vote no in the upcoming referendum. They've tried this a few times in the past, folks. They've tried to give local councils constitutional recognition, and we've always voted no. But they keep trying because they're removing more and more political information and more real information from the education system. And as more and more young kids come out of school and enroll to vote, they're hoping that gradually the influx of uninformed people into the workforce in this country will eventually bring about a yes vote. And that's why they keep trying it. But it's important that you vote no in the upcoming referendum. We do not need a third tier of government in this country. And it's also very important for you to understand that any local council official who is claiming that he is a member of local government or represents local government or is referring to himself as a member of government is in fact committing treason by doing so, because local council is not local government. These are merely elected representatives of the local community who we employ to liaise with local government for us. Local government in your community, folks, is the state government. That's as local as it gets in Australia. So don't forget, folks, if a local council member is claiming he's local government, he's not, and you should ask him for a signed affidavit providing proof of claim that he is a representative of local government. And if he is unable to produce such documentation proving that he is a member of local government, which he will not be able to do because he isn't, then I suggest you have him charged with treason for impersonating a member of government, which I believe carries a 5-year mandatory jail term. And of course, people are waking up to this, folks. They're waking up to the fact that all of the council's fines and all of the rules that it puts on people are all illegal. It has no right to do any of it. And they're beginning to take action against their local councils, which is why the government is pushing so hard to now give these local councils constitutional recognition, because they know as well as we do that it's the only way they are going to avoid a mass of lawsuits. But anyway, I may be getting a little bit off topic with that as far as the global situation goes, but it's just a demonstration of how this is being played out on a local level, because I'm sure there's probably similar things happening in other countries as well. But that's what we're seeing here in Australia, and it is important that people pay attention to it. But again, folks, it's important that people pay attention to the entire global situation and realize that what's happening in their local community is quite literally a microcosmic version of what is happening in the macrocosm as well, because it's all being played out in a fractal manner, folks. What happens locally also happens nationally and also happens globally. And something that everybody should certainly be keeping their eyes on at the moment is, of course, the situation in Syria, where we have Al-Qaeda-funded rebels, Al-Qaeda-backed rebels, overthrowing a legitimate government, and we have Western governments admitting, openly admitting, that they are backing the Al-Qaeda-backed rebels in this case. So it's interesting, folks, when Al-Qaeda apparently carries out attacks against Western interests, then they're a terrible terrorist organization, but when they carry out attacks against people whom the West doesn't like, then the West finances them and gives them weapons and backing to the tune of over $100 million, I think, has been given to the Al-Qaeda-backed rebels in Syria by the United States government. And this is a very dangerous situation, folks, which could well bring about another global confrontation. We've also got a very tense situation in Palestine and in Gaza at the moment as well. I'm trying to get access into Gaza, and I'm having difficulty being able to get in through Egypt because the borders have been closed since Morsi was overthrown, so we're waiting with great interest to see whether the borders are going to be opened soon so that we can get back into Gaza. That was the plan for later this year. I was going to be going to Gaza, and I'm still waiting to see how that unfolds. But getting back to the global situation in general, folks, look, we've got all of the things that I spoke about early in the show. We've got all the things that I mentioned to you on the show last week. Chemtrails, geoengineering, the terrible things Monsanto is doing to our environment through the genetic manipulation of the crops. We've got the genetic manipulation of the human race, the vaccines, the promotion of vaccines recently as well has been outrageous. And not only that, but we've got the transfer of wealth that's currently happening to the third world and the disconnection of the third world that we're seeing as a result of it. The loss of shamanistic traditions around the planet. We're really seeing a huge push forward at the last stage of the disconnection process for the people of Earth. And we're really seeing consolidation of the control grid, the transhumanist agenda. I mean, just the genetic manipulation of our food and the genetic control of our food should be enough to cause any thinking person to pause and question. I mean, look at the results, folks, from all of the genetic manipulation of the food. All of the test results that they've done on animals that have received GM corn and been fed GM food for 3 generations, they've all shown signs of organ damage, they've all shown signs of sterility. This is population control, folks. That's how they're doing it. They're doing it through the food. This is why you're seeing all of the elite eating organic food. This is why the Queen has her own garden. This is why they have their own organic garden at the White House. This is why British Parliament will accept no GM food served to any of the people within the Parliament, because they know that GM food is damaging your body. It's doing organ damage. It's causing sterility in the general population. They know this, folks, And that's why you're being fed on the supermarket shelves. If you are not wealthy enough to be able to afford organic food, this is what you're being fed. And this is how they're weeding out all of the lower classes, what they perceive to be the lower classes, those without enough paper in their wallets or enough fictional digits on their computer screens or in their bank accounts. These are the lower classes, those who haven't learnt how to exploit the world around them as much as the other people and haven't managed to accumulate lots of paper because of their sociopathic tendencies. These are the people they want to get rid of. These are the people they are genetically altering. And this is a very, very serious situation, and it's one that people simply aren't paying attention to because they're too busy on the treadmill. Oh, I can't afford to eat good food because I have too many bills to pay. I can only buy the cheap stuff from the cheap supermarkets. And that's why it's there, folks. That's how they're doing it. It's all being done via control of the economic model, by reducing the human experience to commerce. See, this is how they do it. They manipulate everything through commerce. They control the flow of cash, and thereby they are able to control what people have access to, what food they have access to, where they're able to go, how they're able to live their lives, what neighborhood they're able to live in, what people they can hang around with, what rung they're able to achieve on the social ladder. Then they create subcultures for these groups all the way down the line and through the social hierarchy so that everyone feels comfortable in their little niche, in whichever rung they happen to be on. Then they gradually pull the rungs out from the bottom and discard more and more of the population. And they get away with it because the population is so divided through their little niches and their little subcultures in whichever rung they happen to be on the social ladder, that they don't really care about those that are being pulled out from beneath them, because those people they perceive as being different to them, and different is bad, and so it doesn't matter what happens to those people. And this is the way it's done, folks. It's very clever. And it's very controlled. And I think people are beginning to wake up to how it actually works. And people are beginning to see that there is actually a larger picture here. There is a larger vision of what's going on. There's a higher harmonic that people need to pay attention to. And people are beginning to really see how the divide and conquer mechanism works. People hear this term, divide and conquer, but they don't really believe that it applies to themselves. They think, oh, well, that would be if there's a group, if there's a protest group that's standing up against the government, well, they'll infiltrate that group and they'll divide it into two or three groups, and that's divide and conquer. But it works to a much more subtle degree on the general population as well, because the societies that we live in are completely divided through their specific subcultures, through their social hierarchy in whichever rung people have attained on the social ladder. And when I say through subcultures, folks, it's important to understand what these subcultures are. I mean, this could be a particular football team you might like, or a particular soccer team, or a baseball team. Or perhaps whether you're a hippie, or a goth, or a trendy, or a socialite, or one of the lawyer crowd, or one of the tradie crowd, or one of this crowd, or one of that crowd. These are all subcultures. And it can even be as subtle as which particular newsreader you might like, which TV shows you watch. All of these things create subcultures, and they create little things that people can identify with. But when you think about it, the people that you identify with within your subculture, you find that you do so because these people generally have the same interest as you. They'll watch the same TV show, or they'll go to the same social club, or they'll barrack for the same football team. They might go cave diving like you do. They might go surfing like you do. They'll be part of some subculture that you identify with. And we're given all of these little subcultures, and there'll be caps for it, and little t-shirts for it, and little wristbands for it, and all the stuff that goes with the subculture. I mean, you always know whether what you're expressing is real or whether it's a controlled subculture by whether there's any paraphernalia you can buy. Any little trinkets and any little things you can buy to express your uniqueness. Because if there is, then I'd suggest that it's not really unique, folks. It's a subculture that's been created for you to give you that reprieve from life and to help you feel like you are part of something else, which isn't this society, to help you feel like you're a rebel without actually being one. That's what these subcultures are created for. And once you're part of one of these subcultures, you tend to view people from other cultures with disdain. Oh, they don't really know what's going on. They don't really know what we know because we're in our little group, and you have the little knowing winks and the knowing nods with the people around you because you all know what's going on, but the other groups and the other subcultures don't. And this is divide and conquer. This is what they've done to society. They've literally taken all of our culture and they've turned it into a mass of little subcultures. And all you have to do is step back and you can see it very clearly. And this is very much how the divide and conquer mechanism works. And it's one of the main tools it's used to perpetuate the system. This is why we can never really get a handle on it. We can never really formulate some sort of coordinated response to stop this ship of state traveling in the direction it's going, when it would be really easy to stop it. It would be really easy to change everything if people could simply step outside of their subculture, strip all of that stuff away from them, stand there bare and naked, their soul displayed, put away all the stuff, and simply look at the human race for what it really is. Then we could so easily change things. And very often what prevents us from doing so, as I said, folks, is the loyalties we hold for the particular subculture that we have chosen to immerse ourselves in. But very often, folks, what we're immersing ourselves in is not ourselves. It isn't the art of our own life. It's the art of someone else's life. It's someone else's idea of how things should work, and we've just taken that reality on and made it our own. Very often because it's a means of escape from that which we believe we can't really do anything about. But I think we can, and I think it's the immersion in these subcultures very often that prevents us from doing so. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. It's a pleasure having your company on the air with me today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, ever since I've been doing these shows, I've been bringing you virtually the same message, folks, and the reason that I've continued to do so, and the reason I've continued to do these radio shows even, is because I truly do believe we are at a turning point in history. I think there are a lot of people that are waking up to what's going on in the world, and very many of them, when they become aware of the situation, are moving straight into fear. And I think it's extremely important that people look a little deeper and see the opportunities that these situations provide for us. I've often said that you can't fix a problem until you know what the problem is, and that's why the awareness of the problem is really an opportunity to fix the problem. And it's the same with what we're facing from our governments. It's the same as what we're facing on a global scale. I mean, really, if you look at it, it's like one big experiment that's gone crazy. It's only really been able to be perpetuated and to reach the crazy extreme that it's gotten to through the actions of our respective governments. And I say this because it is the governments that have put in the legislation which has enabled these corporations and these scientific corporations and science departments and this massive global experiment to actually be carried out. It's all been done through legislation that's been put in place. And legislation, as I've very often said, is simply rules written on pieces of paper by politicians. And again, folks, we can see that this has happened because of the economic model, because it's the introduction of commerce over the human experience which provides the opening for certain palms to be greased and certain legislation to be put through. It provides the incentive for these politicians to perhaps behave in a manner that we may construe as being corrupt and to perhaps accept certain political gifts that are given to their parties by certain lobbyists in order for certain services to be performed and certain legislation to be put in place. And make no mistake, folks, these political gifts by lobbyists are bribes that are offered to people by representatives of companies. That's all lobbying is, folks. It's bribing politicians. They just have fancy terms for it. But if you or I did this in the normal world, we would go to jail for bribery. Again, folks, it's just in your interpretation of the law, because apparently if you're a politician, then it's not bribery, it's simply lobbying and political gifts. And that's the way these people operate, folks. So it's important to understand this when you're trying to bring about change to the political arena, because you can be petitioning these politicians all you like, but if these politicians have accepted political gifts from certain companies, then they're not going to kill the goose that lays the golden egg, so to speak. And that is the main motivation of politicians. It's who can fund them the most. As I said on a previous show, all these people really do is suck up to people who print money, and any place they can get money from, they accept it as quickly as possible, and they do certain favours for those lobbyists who give them the most generous gifts. And that's the way it works. That's the way the political arena functions. And that's why it's no point ever really trying to bring about change from within that arena. And that's why the world is in such a terrible state, folks, because it's all based on the economic model. And you can never really bring about positive change from within the political arena by approaching politicians, not unless you are a lobbyist and you have huge amounts of political gifts to give them. And it doesn't matter how much money you raise anyway, folks, because whatever corporation wants the opposite of what you do is going to give them a bigger gift, and then they're just going to go with what that corporation wants anyway, and then there's nothing you can do to claim that you'd like your money back, because after all, it was just a gift, wasn't it? See, it's a very clever situation that they've got there, and that's what we're facing with these people. That's how corrupt the system is. It's really the ones with the biggest bank account get what they want through, and that's the way it works. And that's why it's important for us, the people, to realize that what we're dealing with here is essentially a fictional system that only really has the legs that it's got and maintains the traction that it does via our participation in the system due to our belief that the system is real. But it's not real. It's just rules written on pieces of paper. And folks, we've got to step back and we've got to see this, because all of the things that I've been speaking about in the last few shows, the geoengineering, the chemtrails, the genetic manipulation of the food, the pollution of the groundwater through coal seam gas mining, the fluoride throughout the water supply, Fukushima, so many things going on the planet, folks, and all we're doing is trying to address it through the political arena, and we're not going to do so. We've been trying to address it through the political arena for hundreds of years, and it's never worked, because it's designed not to work. The political arena and the whole legal system is designed to protect the system and to tie any people, any normal human beings, the rest of mankind, to tie us all up in red tape so that we can't affect any positive change. We can't do anything about the direction the world is going, because we've been taught to believe that the rules constructed by the system are real, and that these are the laws of nature, as it were, the laws that need to govern all life on this planet. But they're not. They're simply commercial rules based on a commercial system designed to turn all life into commerce and to tie all life up in red tape, in commercial red tape, in order to prevent anything or anybody or any person or any organization from ever being able to stand up against this system and bring about any effective change. And this is what the education system is all about. It's what the social hierarchy is all about. It's what our business structures are all about. It's what television is all about. It's about what a lot of our books are all about. It's all about teaching people that they need to respect authority, and it's about teaching people that this system is real. But it's not. It's just an idea. It's just a meme. And it is this system itself that is the problem. And I think really, folks, the two biggest problems, if you look at our society today, I mean, we've got the corruption of the politicians, I mean, that's a given. We've got the corruption of the system. But I think the two biggest problems really that we face is people's belief that the system is real. That is a huge problem. And the attitude of the police. This is a huge problem as well. Because we really do need these people to protect society at this time in history. We really do need police to remember what their role is supposed to be. And that is that of peacekeeper, that of public protector. That's what police are supposed to be. And that is not what modern police are doing. And the fact that modern police are so willing to enforce corporate corruption is a real worry, and it is a huge, huge problem that we face as a society today. And make no mistake about that, folks, it truly is a huge, huge problem. I mean, if you go to somewhere like a coal seam gas protest, or if you're standing up against some corrupt banking cartel wishing to repossess your home, it's always the police that are there enforcing corporate corruption. You go to a coal seam gas protest, and the police are there protecting the gas company. The gas company's destroying the water table. You're there attempting to stop the gas company from destroying the water table, which is what it is your duty to do. I mean, you look at the laws of any country, it says that it's a crime to pollute groundwater, and here we have a gas company that is polluting groundwater, that is allowed to do so due to legislation that's been put in place by corrupt public trustees, and here we have the police actually protecting the corporate entity that is destroying the groundwater, abiding by corrupt legislation given to them by corrupt public trustees, and many of them do so because they believe they are performing their duty and that they have no choice other than to comply with legislation that's given to them by government, when really their duty is to protect the public, and their duty to is uphold law. But their duty is to uphold actual law, not just any piece of legislation that's given to them. Because most of the legislation that's put in place by politicians, in fact, subverts actual law and replaces it with their will. And that's the problem. The problem being that this is the way police think, folks, and they believe that they're doing the right thing by acting in this manner. This is a huge problem. We need police that are able to think critically and that always put morals above legislation. But we don't have that, folks. And sure, look, many of the cops probably have high moral fiber. Many of them are probably good people. But the problem is that they just behave very badly when they get in that group mentality and they're subject to the group think of the police force. Then they turn into not so good people. And it's the same with many subcultures because, again, the police is simply a subculture. But the point that I'm making here, folks, is that the police aren't really helping the situation. They're not there to protect the people anymore. They're there to protect the corporations. They're there to do whatever the government tells them to do. And the government never tells them to protect the people. It's always something very opposite to that. And that's the situation that we're facing. So when you look at the whole spectrum of damage that's being done and the whole spectrum of bombardment that mankind is under, you know, the geoengineering, the food toxins, Monsanto, all the stuff, the coal seam gas mining, the pollution of the water table, fluoride, Fukushima, electromagnetic radiation up to the eyeballs. I mean, there's so much that we're facing, folks. When you look at it and you realize that the government is out of control, the corporations are running rampant, and that all the police do nowadays is protect all of these entities, then it becomes very, very apparent that the only way the situation is ever going to be dealt with is by the people themselves. It's only going to be dealt with when we choose to stand up and do something about it. And that is only going to happen when we choose to put down our differences with each other and respect each other. You know, it's not going to be done by creating any movement that's going to make you a lot of money. It's not going to be done by creating a new fashion brand. It's not going to be done by any type of scenario where there is a leader in place. what has to happen is a change in the perspective of each human being on this planet, each member of mankind needs to change the way they think and realize that the revolution that has to happen has to begin with an evolution in consciousness. It has to begin with people changing the way they think. Because when there is a leader, then a revolution can be squashed. When there is a leader and there is a figurehead, then there is something to pull down. There is someone to discredit. There is someone to target. But when the change comes from within each individual, then there's nothing that can be done to combat such a change. There's no one to target. There's no figurehead to pull down. Because what you are fighting against is an idea whose time has come. And there's no way to combat an idea whose time has come. And when the idea of personal freedom and the idea of self-responsibility, the idea of compassion and respect truly takes seed within the human heart, there will be no stopping this idea. And that's why it's important for people to change their perspective. And that's why it's important for those people out there listening to this radio show to realize that there is no leader. I'm not your leader. I'm not someone you should follow, not someone that I would want you to follow. All I do with these shows is attempt to point out to you the value of yourself and the power that you hold within, the ability that you have to bring about some positive change simply by knowing who and what you are. That's the key to the whole thing, folks, is knowing who and what you are. That's the secret. That's the doorway that everybody has to go through. That's the key for the lock. That is the silver bullet that everybody has been searching for. The one thing that is going to free them from this system. The one thing that most people have been looking for externally to themselves by reading books and by going down certain pathways or going down certain rabbit holes or following certain doctrines. They've all been looking for that key, when really that key is within themselves. And it's when people realize this, and when people simply change their attitude and change the way they interact with the world around them, that the world around them will change. When enough people start doing it, the world around them will change. And because there is no leader and no figurehead and no movement as such, then there is nothing that can be done to combat the awakening. There's nothing that can be done to combat the change. There's nothing the system can do to fight against an idea. But if people focus only on the system and believe the system is this all-powerful entity that they have to fight, then that holds their focus and that becomes the focus of their lives, fighting the system. And by doing so, they give power to the system because the system isn't real. It's just an idea. It only gains the strength that it needs to oppress you by your belief that it is real and your willingness to fight against it. That's why I don't fight against it. I know who I am and I know that it's a fiction. I don't have to fight against it because by doing so, I give it strength. I only need to address the system if it chooses to inflict itself upon me. And then all I need to do is to point out to the system that I am me, I am flesh and blood, and I am not part of the system, and that it has no jurisdiction over me, and there's nothing the system can do. And if everybody thinks the same way, if everybody does the same thing in respect to the system, then the system suddenly loses all of its power. And I know that if I was to see someone next to me standing up against the system in that way, I would support that person and I would tell everybody I know about the actions of this person, and I would encourage them to support this person as well, because this person is leading by example in what they are doing, and they are setting the example for other people to be able to do the same thing. And it isn't a matter of other people following the person and following the man's example. It's a matter of other people seeing that you can lead yourself if you choose to do so, and in taking their own initiative to do so. That's what it's all about. I think that's what this is, folks. I think this is a time of self-discovery. And I think it is self-discovery that ultimately will defeat this system. It'll defeat this system because the system's fiction. And people are discovering the system is fiction by discovering themselves. That's what's so important about self-discovery, folks. It wakes you up to the fictional matrix that you've been living in, because it is quite literally a fictional matrix. It's a world that only exists on paper, that's only given substance by our belief that that world is real. But it's not. But look, we are facing some very serious situations here, folks, so I hope that you do get involved, and get involved in your community. That's where you need to get involved. That's the best place for you to get involved. I mean, sure, you can go to some of these political rallies and have your say. You can go to question time in Parliament and have your say. Go to council meetings and have your say. Sure, you can do all of these things, but if you've got the strength of community behind you in your actions, then you're going to be in a much better position when you do stand up and have your say. Because it's very difficult to get your point across when you're on your own. I mean, and you can go there and you can say the right thing and you can point things out in a very eloquent and very polite way and lay the cards directly on the table. But if there's nobody there to witness it, then the council will tend to disregard it and ensure that you are not able to enter the building next time you try to do so. That's why it's good to have some sort of moral support with you. And it's good to have the backing of the community with you when you go and attempt anything like that. So that's why you have to start breaking down the barriers with your neighbours. And again, folks, I believe all of this comes down to personal respect, because once you really do respect yourself and really begin to understand who and what you are, I really do believe that respect for others comes by default. You know, if you're a person out there and you still have stuff with other people, and you still hold grudges and you're unable to forgive other people, then I truly do believe that it is because you don't yet truly respect yourself. Because that's where all of the barriers lie, folks. They all lie within ourselves and within our own hearts. Very often we construct barriers for other people. We construct parameters around these people. We require them to act according to parameters we've constructed for them, very often unbeknownst to themselves. And when they don't perform the way we perceive that they should, we tend to construct stuff that we then hang on to and we use to judge these people. And really it's through a lack of respect for ourselves, and it's through our belief that we have some type of jurisdiction over others. But really we don't, folks. Nobody has any jurisdiction over you, and you don't have any jurisdiction over anybody else. We just have to put down that stuff. When we can learn to do that and really put down this fictional stuff that is really a creation of this society, when we can learn to put all this down and allow people to be who and what they are and truly allow ourselves to be who and what we are, then we can really begin to respect ourselves. Because you can respect yourself from doing so, folks. If you're holding stuff with people, when you can put that down and really, truly put that down and welcome these people back into your life with open arms, then you can truly begin to respect yourself. And then you will find that things in your life just change around you. Now, integrity is the key to the whole thing, folks. You've got to be in integrity in your actions. And holding stuff with other people and having grudges with other people and putting parameters around other people's actions is not acting in integrity. It really isn't. And not only are you not doing justice to them and being fair to them, but you're not doing justice and being fair to yourself, because you are denying yourself of ever reaching your fullest potential. And that's what we do, folks. We deny ourselves from ever really and truly reaching our fullest potential because we all too often fall into the traps and the pitfalls that have been set there for us by this society. And one of the main pitfalls is the creation and perpetuation of stuff with other people. Again, folks, it's divide and conquer. And as above, so below. What happens in the microcosm also happens in the macrocosm. We do this and we very often become our own worst enemies. We create energetic barriers between ourselves and the people that we love. We create energetic barriers between ourselves and reality around us. And reality truly is a reflection, folks. If you look at your own personal reality and the things and the trials and tribulations that you put up with in your life, they truly are a reflection of yourself. Very often, you're given things by which to learn, mechanisms that are there for you to learn by, and you're given the opportunity and the choice as to whether you will learn by these things. And if you don't, well, then it happens again until you do learn. Very often, you may be quite happy in your life, and then something will happen which will suddenly throw you completely off kilter, and you think, well, what was that for? How did I attract that into my life? But really, it's because there's something in your life that you need to know. There are a myriad of reasons why each of us are here. It isn't really always a one-shot affair. We're not here just to do one thing. We're here to experience all manner of circumstance and all manner of aspects of ourselves. And we're given the opportunities that we need in order to experience these different aspects of ourselves. It's what we do with the information that's important, and we very often forget that. I know people recently that have had extreme changes to their circumstances in life, and they really don't know why, but obviously it's because there is a perspective there that they need to gain. And I truly believe that's why these things happen, folks. It's all for a reason, and it's all about what we do with the information. It's about what we do with the time that's given to us, and it's about the legacy that we all leave behind. Because we all do leave a legacy behind. Our life does mean something. Everybody's life meant something. It meant something to somebody, and it most certainly meant something to them. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes our life doesn't really mean much to us at all because we're not willing to learn the lessons that life is there to give us. And again, folks, this is very often because we're programmed not to. I really don't blame anybody for anything they have done in this life, folks, because I realize that people are programmed. People are not given an even playing field. And for many people, it takes them the vast majority of their lives to even wake up to the fact that perhaps there may have been something more. I consider myself to be very fortunate in as much as I started looking at these sorts of things at a very young age, and so I was perhaps able to obtain a slightly more philosophical perspective than many people. But again, there might be some people who would say that's a bad thing and they're not really interested in a philosophical perspective and they're quite happy doing what they're doing. And good luck to them in that, because that is obviously the perspective that they are here to experience. But look, I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you very much for joining me on the air today. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. It is very much needed and very appreciated, so thank you to those who do. And thank you for all the kind emails that you send me as well. I do attempt to answer a few more these days. Hopefully I will get to yours soon. But that is it for me, folks. I'm now completely out of time. Thank you for joining me on the air today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.